Up next, the unique life of Hedy Lamarr. Now, if you are of a certain age or you just happen to like old movies, you have no doubt heard of Hedy Lamarr. She was born in Vienna and went on to become an actress in American films in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. She scandalized Hollywood with one of the first ever nude scenes in the movie called Ecstasy. And her career lasted much longer than any of her five marriages. She died in Florida in the year 2000 at the age of 86. But you may not realize that Hedy Lamarr was more than just fodder for Hollywood gossip. She was the co-inventor of something called frequency hopping. That's a method for communicating in secret. It's a technology now used in modern cell phones, and it's the title of a new play about Lamarr and her co-inventor, composer George Antheil. And joining me now to talk more about it is the play's writer and director, Elise Singer. Ms. Singer is artistic director of Hourglass Group. Her play, Frequency Hopping, won the 2007 Stage Award, and it's running now through the end of June at the 3LD Art and Technology Center here in Manhattan. She joins us here in our New York studios. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
And I welcome you to joining the list of admirers, those of us who have been talking about Hedy Lamarr for decades. When did you first discover her talent?
I first heard about Hedy Lamarr's collaboration with George Antheil in 1997 on NPR's Morning Edition.
There you go.
Actually, Weekend Edition. Sorry. Mm-hmm. It was a Saturday. And I heard a report that Hedy Lamarr was going to be the first glamour girl, cover girl of Invention and Technology magazine. And this was in connection with her winning the Bowlby Award that was for her scientific contribution. And they talked about the patent. And as I heard it described, as I heard their invention described, it immediately sounded to me like a metaphor for human communication, mm-hmm. Especially romantic communication. The idea of switching frequencies and sending hidden codes in your communication, and the whole idea of a secret communication system just sounded sounded metaphorical to me. And I've had a very long fascination with iconic women. I've done plays about Mae West. I did a piece about Courtney Love that was called Love in the Void. That was it's kind of been recognized as being the first play set in cyberspace, and that was in 1995. And a lot of my work has involved women creating their own public identity through technology, mm-hmm. And also combining kind of early American popular forms like burlesque or silent film and mashing it up against almost science fiction. So that's something that I'm always sort of drawn to that. And so when I heard heard this described, I ran out, found the magazine, and pretty much started work right then.
Talking with Lee Singer, author and director of Frequency Hopping, being shown here in New York on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. And it's just the play has lots of different layers to it, and there are lots of messages in it, like you're saying. It's about frequency hopping, and I find it ironic, and I'm sure not by accident, that the music on stage is by the player pianos are all over the place, which is how George Antheil enters the picture, right?
Right. Lamarr had been married back in Austria to Fritz Mandl, who was one of the top four worldwide munitions dealers and was notorious for dealing with the worst of the worst. I mean, he was dealing with the Nazis, he was dealing with Mussolini. He ended up leaving and he was working with Perón. I mean, he was unscrupulous.
He was a bad guy.
He was a bad guy. And she was a trophy wife. It sat there at dinners. You know, she was only about 18 when she got married. Mm. And heard conversations between Mandl and actually some of the leaders of the German military about advances that they were making with radio control technology. And she was listening in on how they were making these making progress in terms of jamming, and they knew all sorts of stuff about American and English, where the Americans and where the English were, and they already had plans how to jam it. And she escaped that marriage and made her way to America. And I think, you know, part of she wanted to do something to retaliate, and hooked up with George Antheil, who at that point really his biggest claim to fame was that he had written the Ballet Mécanique he started writing in 23, but it premiered 24, 25. And that was written for 16 synchronized player pianos, which he never was able to do. The technology never existed when he was alive to actually synchronize them, but he was always working on it. And the idea of having multiple pianos playing exactly at the same time mm-hmm. was something that he had worked very hard to try to achieve. And his knowledge of the mechanics of player pianos was his major contribution to their patent. Their patent describes quickly shifting frequencies as a way to evade enemy jamming, and it uses a little slotted paper roll
right.
to control the shifting of the frequencies.
Right.
And of course, that was in a way their downfall because
it's too bulky and whatever
it was
to get
too,
it inside.
But they couldn't they couldn't make the mental leap to say, you know, the Antheil kept saying you could fit on my watch, little teeny paper roll, and they were thinking, like, put a piano on a torpedo.
All right, I'm going to stop you there because it's a great story. We have to take a break. We'll come back and talk lots more with the lead singer of Frequency Hopping. Stay with us. We'll be right back after the short break. I'm Ira Plato. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Plato. We're talking about frequency hopping, a new play here by Elise Singer here in New York about the life and times of Hedy Lamarr and George Antheil. And Elise, what are we listening to here?
That's an excerpt from Ballet Mécanique.
And that was his signature piece that you use all through the play.
Yeah, there's the siren.
And there are all these pianos playing at the same time.
We have 8 Yamaha disc claviers that are controlled and run by MIDI control. So it's all run by computers. And sometimes we have all 8 going together, and sometimes they can, you know, all different combinations. We're working with a group called LEMUR, which is the League of Electronic Musical Urban Robots. Which is a group out of Brooklyn, New York, and they have done the robotics for the percussion. A gentleman named Paul Lehrman, who is probably one of the foremost experts on George Antheil, and he is responsible for having actually done all the programming for Ballet Mécanique. He put in all 23 minutes and so many notes, I don't even know. Millions of notes, each one entered by hand. And in fact, we are doing a performance of Ballet Mécanique with the Fernand Léger film on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. There's a special added performance at 7 o'clock on Sunday night that's going to be followed by Ballet Mécanique. It's only the second time that the film has been accompanied by the robotic orchestra, which allows for the precise synchronization that
right.
Antheil envisioned back in 1924 and never was able to achieve.
Well, I have to say, some of the genius of presenting a highly technical issue, and that is, how do you describe how to synchronize a torpedo? The genius they figured out was using the piano roll idea. Though they couldn't get the piano roll in there, they came up with the idea of synchronizing these two objects, the torpedo and the plane that dropped it together. And you present that in the play in a really genius way, using, I think, the third part, the unseen players, is this audiovisual mechanism that you came up with.
Well, we didn't come up with it. Thank you that compliment. But we're so lucky to be at 3LD because they have I think the only venue, at least in New York City, possibly in America, that has this technology called eyeliner, which is a modern update on a very old technology, actually, called Pepper's Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows basically for holograms to appear on the stage with the actors. We use projected images. You could
right.
actually use projected objects or actual people. And
So it looks like they're on stage, but they're just visual images on glass.
It's plastic.
Whatever it is, you add images of people. You have a bathtub where they're talking about the submarine technology.
Right, and that was very exciting to me. I mean, my projection designer, Elaine McCarthy, had come to a reading of the play about 7 years ago and heard the stage directions, and she said, Elise, the technology doesn't exist yet to mm-hmm. do what you're describing.
Did you have to wait for it to develop?
In a way, we kind of had to. It had to be invented so that we could do it. In a way that it was, mm-hmm. if it existed back then, there's no way we could have afforded it. But it didn't really exist. Mm-hmm. And so when I hooked up with 3LD and found out about eyeliner, I said, oh my God, that's perfect, because what was in the play from a long time ago was that idea that Hedy and George were collaborating in almost like the Matrix, you know, in a
that's a good description.
Yeah, well, in that space, that's kind of psychological, kind of psychosexual, an imaginative space,
right.
where scientific collaborators, where artists, where people who are working really intimately and closely on something are able to envision it, even though it doesn't exist yet. So visionaries, seers, are able to see something together and then create it. Mm-hmm. You know, a sculptor imagines the sculpture in their mind and then creates it. You know, and I think for Hedy and George, you know, certainly they were doing lots of sketches on paper, but I think they were seeing it musically.
Yeah.
At least George was.
Yeah. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. And in fact, that's how he's able to describe in the play how it works. He actually uses a scale, and they start singing together in unison. And you can see, well, I can understand how we can coordinate two distant objects in unison as if they sing together.
Yeah, and that's the metaphor that we use in the play, is that, I mean, it is the same idea as spread spectrum frequency hopping, which is in Bluetooth, it's in your cell phone.
Right.
The idea of having the radio spectrum and hopping around the radio spectrum allows satellites and cell phones and everybody to maximize the use of the spectrum without just staying on one channel.
And that's the gift that they eventually gave us. They never made that torpedo, right?
No, they didn't make – no, their actual invention was never manufactured. It took until the late 50s, early 60s, I think, Sylvania used electronics, not mechanics, that they were able to kind of come up with something that used the same idea of just switching the frequencies very quickly. And then it was especially – and the idea of having kind of a seemingly random pattern, I think also was Antheil's contribution. The idea – that's why what I have is he composes a melody, in fact, that they can use for their play acting of what this invention – how this invention might work. But from the enemy's standpoint, how would they ever guess that particular melody, especially if it was seemingly random?
Yeah. It's interesting, though, that the play opens on a sexual note. This play has something, sex, electronics, and every geeky person or theater goer has something in this play for you.
Well, you know, thank you. Two things. One, I think to see them just sitting around talking about, you know, modulators and transmitters, I think would be really boring.
Right.
From a very early part of the play's development, I liked the idea of modeling the play's structure on the invention, the idea of hopping around. I also thought that their human relationship, the story of their collaboration, it'd be interesting to model it also on the structure that the patent took, in a way. They kind of come together, it climaxes, and then, in fact, it has kind of an anticlimax.
Right.
But one of the things that was very funny early in the research, I stumbled on all of these articles that George Antheil had written for Esquire, and they were about glands. Which, from all the research I've done, that was the first conversation that Hedy Lamarr and George Antheil had was, how to increase her breast size. Basically, that he was known for.
Was his opening line.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Was, your breasts.
Right. I can fix them.
Yeah, right. You don't need to take injections of, post-pituitary. But I read all of his articles for Esquire, and what was fascinating was that in 1936, he wrote an article talking about know your glandular wavelength. So, in fact, he was talking about biological, physical, sexual frequencies and you know, wavelengths 4 years before he met Hetty and started talking about radio frequencies, and that are almost the same thing as musical frequencies.
Right.
All of those, you know, trying to weave all of those ideas together was a challenge. But I think the more electricity between them, the more interesting the story would be.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. And the casting is terrific, I have to say. I don't know where you found someone who looks just like Hedy Lamarr and was as sultry and statuesque.
Thank you. No, we have two wonderful actors, Erica Newhouse and Joe Erla. And Erica is literally 2 weeks out of Juilliard. Our wig designers need a shout out. They did a terrific job. Jared and Rob did a great job with the wig. It's not actually her hair color, but Erica's fantastic, and so is Joe. I mean, this was the hardest play to cast. Really, really difficult, and they needed to be. I mean, they need to sing, dance. There's a whole scene in German, and to be able to, you know, have that. Be able to be talk about science in a way that's sexy is not easy.
And it was interesting how you were able to go back into her lifetime by flashbacks using
the projections. I think helps again because you know some of the scenes we talked about how in quote real time it might have just been a moment, the way somebody might say something, and then in your mind you're back in your memory of something that took place 20 years before, and then you snap back and you're back in real time. So we do that in the play where something may trigger a memory, and we actually will let them go back in there, and the projections are we use projections on two surfaces. So there's the eyeliner surface, and then there's also behind them. So the actors are really surrounded not only by these images that are shifting and changing, but also by the orchestra. Elaine also did the set design, and I give her full credit for the idea of putting the orchestra as almost a frame around the set. And there's a real, I mean, I'm very excited about how the piece mashes up old technology and new technology. I mean, the orchestra itself is pianos, player pianos, which have been around since the 19th century, bass drums, gong, siren, bells. I mean, they're certainly old technology. They were around when Antal was writing the piece 80, 85 years ago, but they're controlled by computers, by the most advanced kind of and the programs that we had to use. It's my crew is unbelievable. It was this was very funny. When we were in tech, people would come in and they said, "It looks like NASA in here."
It does. But it's a very intimate setting at the same time.
Yes, it's a small venue. I mean, it was a lot of technical know-how to put everything together.
I'll bet. It took a lot of rehearsal. We're talking with Elise Singer, author and director of Frequency Hopping on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. How much longer are you going to be running? And, we have a national program. Not everybody can get to New York. And can you move it around, the country
all? That's our hope. We were very lucky to get some funding from the Sloan Foundation. Thank you.
They also fund our program.
They are wonderful. We're still looking for other angels out there, and we're hoping that it will have another life in other venues outside of New York, outside of America, possibly universities. What's also very exciting, I think, also about this piece is that it has a cross-generational appeal. I think older audiences who remember Hedy Lamarr or remember that time are very excited by that whole aspect of it, and they've never seen technology like this.
Right.
Younger audiences, I mean, I think, and this is my experience, is that there's incredible work out there in the theater community, in the multimedia community, doing things that are very, very exciting with new technology, but often at the expense of story, at the expense of good acting, at the expense of that experience. And so one of my goals was to try to marry them in a way that was sophisticated, that you could have a good story, you could have great characters, and have amazing technology.
See if I can get a phone call in before we have to go. Adam in Tallahassee. Hi, Adam.
Hi. It's a real pleasure to be a part of this discussion. How's everybody?
Fine. How are you?
Hi.
I'm doing very well. I'm a poet here in Tallahassee, and interestingly, I've written a short poetry poem sequence called Ballet Mécanique about Hedy Lamarr and this technology that she invented. And one of the things that I found listening to you talk about the intimacy that she had with her co-inventor was that she also established a deep intimacy with the audience that she had on screen, perhaps because of the sort of hypersexual aspects of her performances in places, but also that not only did her technology go on to help invent guided missile technology, but it also went on to help invent cell phone technology, and that helps establish a distant, if not similar, intimacy between people. And I think that's one of the things that you try and do in theater as well. Mm-hmm. And I can't say how much I want to see this play.
Oh,
because much of the form of my poem it sounds very much like what you were trying to do with the play, which is base the form on the invention. And that's my comments. I just wanted to congratulate you and say how interesting this all sounds to me.
Thank you so much.
And the play will be running until?
The play is running until June 29th at 3LD, Art and Technology Center. And our website is frequencyhopping.net. And tickets are 212-352-3101. And again, we're doing Ballet Mécanique, an encore screening of the Léger film with the full robotic orchestra on Sunday night, June 22nd. All the information is on the website.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully you'll be able to take it around the country. If some people listening.
We would love that. People can contact us through the website.
A lot of equipment to move in this.
It would. It's not really it's not that portable, but it is only two actors.
It's two actors, and they take up, I mean, literally, they occupy the whole stage very well.
Thank you.
Is there any other technology you would love to have that isn't invented yet that you could incorporate into the play? I mean, what's interesting about the technology is it's new, but it looks old.
Yeah.
It's not laser beams flying around on stage like there would not have been in those days.
Sure. Well, that was actually, we tried to use that as a rule in our design.
Is that right?
Yeah, was to try to keep within what might have been available at their time because, you know, certainly you can imagine things that don't exist yet, but only to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm. So you said we're not going to have anything like that stuff that hang around. Well, no lasers, nothing like that. Thank you, Elise, for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you so much.
I really enjoyed seeing the play, and good luck with it.
Thank you so much.
Elise Singer is artistic director of Hourglass Group, and you can catch her play Frequency Hopping from now until the end of July at the 3DL Art and Technology Center here in New York. Greg Smith composed our theme music. We had help today from NPR librarian Kim Oleski and Angie Hamilton-Lowe and Patrick Murray at NPR West. Also, you can surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com, where we're podcasting and blogging and looking for your videos. Send us some interesting videos that you have about science and technology. We'll put them up on our website. We've got dozens of them, and you can download them and watch them. Also, we're podcasting, and you can subscribe to our podcast there. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.